Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message. Welcome to Revolution Radio, where you, the listeners, are in charge. Here at Revolution Radio, we present 48 broadcast hours of news and information each and
every day. Revolution Radio never sleeps. Revolution Radio is worldwide and borderless information. Revolution Radio is also commercial free. Revolution Radio is supported 100% by you, the listeners. And that's why we appeal to you to donate and support this station and its expenses. You can support us in many available options like archive subscriptions, our CPAC selections, or even my woodworking store. And we also even have Revolution Radio's swag at the Revolution Radio Zazzle store, which you can get t-shirts, coffee cups, even a baby onesie. Or you can just plain donate to the cause. We cannot continue without your support, and your support is what helps pay the bill. So please, if you wish us to continue, please stop by our station support page and drop a dime on us. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. Safe? Do you have the necessary information to assist you in confidently living through just about any survival situation? Is survival and gardening, off-grid living, medical knowledge, or even natural or man-made EMPs on your list of personal concerns? Do you have your documents and your personal information in a safe place in your hands where you know where it is? Well, check out our preloaded EMP-proof thumb drive. Over 3 gigs of survival documents and how-tos, plus the USDA offline food preservation website, and much, much more, including a surprise bonus we just can't tell you about here. With plenty of room left over to store your most important documents. Imagine if a megavirus or a computer failure took out your bank, or all the banks for that matter. Are your banking records safe in your hands? So when they get things fixed and repaired, you can say, hey, look, this is what I had. You have it. I want it back. Is your personal data safe? Family records, addresses, phone numbers? We'll squeeze on over to freedomslips.com. Yes, that's www.freedomslips.com. Click the banner on the homepage for the EMP-proof bullet drive to get the full scoop of everything that we offer. So, folks, keep your data safe for your peace of mind. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the People's War. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so orient, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Ray, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio! Extendivite really works.
Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder, and let me call my guest right here and bring him right on the air. His name is Dan Willis. He's from the Disclosure Project. He's one of the witnesses that came forward with Dr. Stephen Greer. Dan, how are you this evening?
It's great to be on your show again, Mark. I'm great.
Well, I'm glad to hear your voice, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you. We've got so much to share. I'm going to read one sentence from Billy's book called Might of Thoughts, because we're going to talk about some things tonight which people could consider depressing, but I don't consider them depressing. And this one sentence, I think, will help keep things in perspective. It says...
Oh, yeah, that's important. You know, the collective mind and how each of us affect the collective reality. It's a very, very important topic. I know you've been researching and studying the Myers, writings for some time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Let me read this one sentence and then we'll get on with what I don't think is a depressing topic, but it could be interpreted that way. It says here, if a human being is depressive, then the characteristic phenomena of a negative worldview manifests. Consequently, those whose psyches are out of sorts in this way and assess everything as negative much more often than others who display no psychical disorder. So Billy always talks about keeping your thoughts in what he calls neutral positive balance, a little bit to the positive. And in his book here, Might of Thoughts, it says... tell yourself, say, I am confident, I'm optimistic, I'm relaxed, I'm cheerful, I'm enthusiastic, I'm the master of my own destiny, I'm the forger of my own fortune, I'm the creator of my own good luck. So I want to put us in a neutral positive balance before we get to some of the more difficult things we're going to discuss this evening. And one of the things I wanted to just kind of ask you, Dan, in a general sense, is it seems to me that we're under attack. The American people are under attack. And I would say they're under attack with silent weapons. Weapons that people don't even consider weapons, maybe. And some of the things I would include in that would be vaccines and 5G. And I wonder if you could expand on that concept at all.
Well, there appears to be a lot of indications that, fluoride in the waters, GMO foods, the vaccines, all these different things. When you look at the history of what happened with Nazi Germany and the Nuremberg trials and the doctors' trials that, the corporations that make up a lot of the you know, pharmaceutical corporations today were basically split out of IG Farben, like, you know, Bayer and, you know, all the, I think there was like 13 corporations that broke into all these things. And, you know, that there was this ideology, you know, with the Rockefellers and everything of this eugenics along that went along with Nazi Germany, that, you know, people need to be, you can't trust everything you see on television. You have to do your own research. And when you realize that your perceptions of being manipulated ever since, and this goes way back to 1917, you know, when Rockefeller, J.P. Morgan, and Warburg took over the control of the main newspapers, but, you know, went into big time with Alan Dulles when he set up Operation Mockingbird in 1950, where, you know, the CIA, as they do today, control everything that you see and hear, you know, manipulated through six mainstream media corporations. So, you know, there's hidden agendas. You know, you have to watch, you know, there's a long list of all the outlets that they control, the New York Times, CNN, CBS, ABC, you know, the whole list of them. And then you have, you know, the History Channel coming out with Unidentified, but they're not really unidentified. They identified them a long time ago. And what's really a threat to the national security that they keep putting out is more that, you know, the American public could be deceived by a hidden agenda that's pushing a deceptive narrative that, you know, the extraterrestrials have been here for, as you know, for a long time. They have not been really a threat. But there have been an infiltration, as both Eisenhower and Kennedy attempted to warn us about. And, you know, by the recent Admiral Wilson Davis document that just got leaked last month, showing that, you know, presidents, CIA directors, even the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff of Intelligence is being denied access by these corporate-run unacknowledged special access projects that have been reverse engineering the extraterrestrial technology for decades.
Well, let's back up a little bit, because I'm sure, I think you agree with me that the release of this F-18 footage, where they've got, they have them on the FLIR, the forward-looking infrared radar, and they have this unidentified thing that looks like almost tic-tac shaped. I've heard it called the tic-tac. Maybe you were the one that called it that. But they've been seeing this kind of thing for decades and decades. There's really nothing new here, is there?
No, and the narrative is saying, you know, oh, this represents a significant threat to our national security, you know, and all this stuff, you know. But, you know, in 2000, of course, you know, all of the controlled mainstream media outlets are pushing, you know, this awareness of the, you know, the Tic Tac and, you know, the Navy, you know, the heads-up display, whatever they're showing. But, you know, back in 2001, the same mainstream media outlets, I was, you know, one of the 20 top secret military witnesses that stated were willing to testify under oath before a congressional hearing. And we revealed that, you know, we have already categorized by 1989 57 different species. In the 1950s, by October 1954, we have achieved anti-gravity, had already created alien reproduction vehicles that can go faster than the speed of light. In fact, you know, just currently out in the public domain, the U.S. Navy has, you know, anti-gravity craft that, you know, has all the formulas and everything that, you know, totally shows that we've had this technology for some time. Yet the narrative, you know, on the History Channel Unidentified is like, oh, we need to put money into research to try to figure out how these things work and all these things. But they've been doing it for decades, so it's a bit deceptive.
So the recent information is really a part of a larger plan to release information in a step-by-step manner So this is part of the bigger script that they probably came up with decades ago. And again, there's nothing new here. This is kind of, it's almost like the public is completely manipulated on so many different levels.
True. It's a controlled narrative.
Absolutely. It's a controlled narrative. So they're releasing, they've planned, they probably have it step by step what information they're going to lead, what information they're going to release over time, and then they're going to lead us into this negative extraterrestrial perspective, and then eventually this false flag invasion, right?
Well, that was a plan that they've had back a long time ago. You know, the report from Iron Mountain kind of implies it. Wernher von Braun's deathbed testimony implies it. In fact, the Benson Strategy Group that got leaked by Anonymous said that they were even planning on pulling the extraterrestrial threat, you know, out. You know, all these things that, yeah, they've had it, and they have the technology to pull it off. The thing is that the trouble is people don't understand. We have a large percentage of the population that doesn't understand that our media outlets have been essentially taken over by the intelligence community. That and the one thing people need to understand, that it's not our government, you know, that's doing it, you know, quote unquote. It's, we have apparently an infiltration of unwarranted influences, as Eisenhower said, of, you know, black hats and white hats. So we have good people in our government, in our CIA and NSA and NRO and all the different agencies. But there is a certain group that is pushing an agenda. Mm-hmm. And that anything that deceives the American public is not an agenda that I think what happened was, when Eisenhower lost control back in February 1955, you know, as testified by Brigadier General Stephen Lumpkin, who said that, you know, he realized that he lost control to the corporations and that it wouldn't be in the best of hands, and he was kind of forced into an agreement, and, you know, shared this with Kennedy, and, you know, Kennedy, like 10 days after he tried to get in information, you know, he's assassinated, and then, you know, a leaked document showed that Alan Dulles actually, who was MJ-1 of the MJ-12 group, set up an assassination directive because Kennedy was looking into the whole thing. And then they put Lyndon B. Johnson in, who was, you know, totally their boy. And so since that time, you know, we've had presidents, but, you know, we've had, after Eisenhower and Kennedy was denied access, you know, Jimmy Carter actually had a UFO encounter, as you know, mm-hmm. That put a report on. And he made it his campaign promise. And, you know, one of the witnesses that it was of the 20 witnesses back in May 9th, 2001, was Daniel Sheehan, who testified that he demanded the UFO files from the CIA director, who happened to be George H.W. Bush, who denied the sitting president access. And then it was, Bill Clinton that tried to gain access, who famously said to Sarah McClendon, who was the famed White House correspondent in regards to the matter, "Sarah, there's a secret government in the government, and I don't control it." And then he tried to have a CIA director, James Woolsey, look into it, and he was denied access. That's what brought Dr. Greer into a three-hour meeting, who the director said, "I know the subject's real," trying to figure out why the hell I can't gain access to it. And he said, "You know, how do we disclose what we don't have access to?" And then it was 1997, and this is the famous leak that just came out last month, the Admiral Wilson Davis memo, where astrophysicist Eric Davis, outside of the EG&G building, which is the where they do all these, you know, flights to Area 51 and everything, he basically was fuming mad, the admiral, that, you know, in 97, Dr. Greer provided a NRO classified document that showed a distribution list of these unacknowledged special access programs. And when the admiral was denied, you know, he had the legal authority to oversee any of these things. But the corporations, the same corporations that Eisenhower lost control to, corporations like Lockheed and Raytheon and Science Applications International, Boeing, you know, all these corporations that are working in these deep black, hidden under normal special access programs, these unacknowledged, he was able to find the program, and they said, sir, you do not have a need to know. And he said, the hell I don't. I'm the head of intelligence for the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And so this whole thing was transcribed and got leaked last month, where it went into the whole detail, you know, talking about MJ-12, talking about the reality of the alien reproduction vehicles, talking about if the admiral didn't drop the subject that he would see an early retirement, lose a couple of stars along the way. Wow. And it would not be good for him. And so he was really, really pissed. So we have these operations going on that our legal constitutional government has no access to. And I think part of the ugly picture behind all this, that when Eisenhower lost control and was part of a Nazi infiltration, as you know, everybody does history, looks at, you know, Operation Operation Paperclip, rather, mm-hmm. and you know, going into the CIA with thousands of Nazi spies, and you know, just the whole infiltration that happened. They have deep underground facilities that they started building out back in 1946. After the war with Xavier Dorsch, who was the mastermind for Hitler, who made these massive underground facilities in Nazi Germany. Anyway, they started in New Mexico, and now they have, you know, as Phil Snyder testified, like 130 or so, and that was many, many years ago. So they have these huge facilities underground. Who knows what kind of illegal activity is going on, human rights abuse, such as slave labor, you know, so all these ugly stories and testing things on people and whatever is possibly going deep underground and deep under the Antarctic ice as well, and in bases that were set up there, you know, back in, starting back in the late 30s and early 40s.
Yeah. So you talked about the NRO, just briefly, could you elaborate on that? I think that's a real important organization.
Sure, National Reconnaissance Organization. That particular document that Dr. Greer provided to Rear Admiral Thomas Wilson. What happened was, I was sort of kind of involved in that in a way, in that. There was a meeting by a group in 1991 outside of Area 51 that had this meeting, and they brought along some television crew and stuff like that. And Nellis Air Force Base, otherwise known as Area 51, put out this classified NRO advisory that warned any personnel on the base that had any contact whatsoever with these people, they would be reprimanded. And so on this list, they had a long list. Now, the same group I met with in 1993 when Bob Lazar, who was working on the Zeta Reticuli craft over at S4, came out for the first time publicly to a small group of researchers that the base actually provided the tent that we were under. And for 2 hours, and no cameras or videos or recording of any nature was allowed whatsoever of this first-time event. But I broke the rules and had sitting on my lap my camcorder, and I was on the front row and recorded the full 2 hours. I put it up on the webmatrix.net in the 1993 timeline. Everything's chronological. It was the same group meeting that happened just prior that provided this NRO classified advisory document that, you know, the CIA basically controls Area 51 and NRO is, you know, connected with all that. Okay. So this was the document that Admiral Wilson used in order to find this hidden unacknowledged special access program that was, according to the document, the Admiral Wilson leaked document, was that it was technology that was not of this earth, not made by humans, not by human hands. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the Admiral was quite pissed, to put it mildly.
So, I mean, we kind of talked briefly about this last time, but I think it's so important to emphasize because a lot of the UFO community goes back to the government to try to get disclosure. And what I try always to tell people is that the quote-unquote official government doesn't know anything, really. It's
That's
the
right.
shadow government, right? It's the special access programs, you know, the yeah. shadow government would be the only people that know anything.
Yeah, and I have proof of that. You know, if you go to my website, you know, I have a list of all of the responses after 30,000 faxes went. I traveled across the United States with Dr. Greer in major cities, and we had people use our online fax that I created in order to contact the president and your representatives and senators. And out of 30,000 faxes, I got about 52 or so responses. I told people to send me the letters. I'd scan them and put them up on the web so they can see how they're responding to the issue. And it becomes very clear that all of our senators and congresspeople have been indoctrinated how to respond to it with official letters of denial from NASA, you know, that there is no way they can travel the vastness of space and get here because of the speed of light. And also, you know, the Project Blue Book, you know, which, you know, both of them are a joke. But this is what they give. This is how the kind of the response. So obviously, if presidents such as Eisenhower, Kennedy, you know, Carter and Clinton have all been denied access, and you have CIA directors and heads of intelligence being denied access, they're not going to read anybody into this, you know, that are, you know, a senator or a congressman.
Can you tell us where on your website again you had that information you were just talking about?
Yeah, if you go to www.thewebmatrix.net. Mm-hmm. In the 1993 to 2001, in May 9, 2001 was when we did the National Press Club, which we had over 500 military intelligence witnesses. Mm-hmm. 20 of them were willing to go before the 22 cameras in the back row of the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., in each state, that we were willing to testify under oath before a congressional hearing. And I was one of the witnesses, you know, reporting extraterrestrial craft and official Navy secret reports coming out of the ocean, that we basically disclosed that our government has been denied access and that we have the scientists that can prove that we have zero-point energy to get off of nuclear oil and coal, that we have moon bases on the other, on the far side of the moon, that NASA airbrushes the UFOs out, that the astronauts are told to keep quiet, that by 1989 we've already categorized 57 different species, that we have alien reproduction vehicles, that nuclear missiles are being shut down, you know, they plan for future false flag events. You know, all this was disclosed. Of course, this got heavily sanitized and used what the CIA calls a limited hangout and made it sound like we wanted to have a congressional hearing on the reality of UFOs. But now we have, like, the History Channel coming out with identified, unidentified, saying, you know, oh, we have a serious threat to our national security. But they've already known about it for some time, and the National Press Club, again, got fully sanitized, but it went viral on the internet. And this is why, you know, the CIA created Google and Facebook with, you know, LifeLog DARPA. You know, to control the perception, their, you know, their censorship algorithms are ramping up, and as you know, Snowden.
I recently had a movie taken down. I'm one of my shows taken down. I had a show with Dr. Jim Fetzer and Michael Herring. Michael Herring was talking about Mars, and Dr. Jim Fetzer was talking about the Sandy Hook shootings, and they recently pulled that down. I have a buddy that posts all the shows, and it's on YouTube under Contemplate Creation. So they pulled that one down. Yeah, the censorship is really bad, and I'm sorry to derail you, but I wanted to throw that in. It's so important, the censorship thing.
Well, it's a key. It's absolutely key, Mark, because, you know, I used to be an ABC, you know, I'm an ex-ABC newsman, and when I saw the whole place packed at the National Press Club, I mean, we had 22 cameras, people were cheering at the end, you know, I thought, oh my God, you know, all of this being disclosed to the public, how could this not be an entirely world-changing event? You know, each one of us stated we're willing to testify under oath. But of course, you know, the Bush administration denied the congressional hearing. The mainstream media made it sound like, you know, want to have a on the reality of UFOs, which didn't, you know, grab anybody's watching the evening news. You only got a minute and a half of exposure. Gosh. But, you know, when they came out with the Navy with the Tic Tac on, you know, To the Stars Academy, it's like every single major media went on for one or two or three days, so that even your grandmother knows about that. You know, the government's acknowledging that UFOs are real, you know. So the thing to be careful of is a controlled narrative that is behind it a hidden agenda, because what's being revealed now is, if you do any research, of course, you know, our history has been controlled. The Nazis escaped and infiltrated, you know, and all the connections with the banking elite, and all that was pulled out from the history school books back in 1946 by the Rockefeller Foundation.
To interrupt you again. Let me ask you this then. So technically, in a way, we lost World War II?
I believe, according to all indications, that the Nazis had this plan called Weltanschauungskrieg, which means worldview warfare. They planned to infiltrate into the United States. This was back in 1944. They planned with Operation Eagle Flight. They had huge amounts of money, and they brought in and bought 750 front corporations. They basically had this plan to create a matrix of perception in the United States by taking over control of our education, taking over control of our media, taking over control of our entertainment in Hollywood, and so that generations that would be born into this reality would have a limited view of what actually happened. So, yeah, so the ticker tape parade and the guy kissing the, you know, the sailor kissing the girl, and you know, we won and victory, and that's what everybody wanted to hear after the war, right? They didn't want to hear that actually the Nazis actually escaped, and using General Reinhard Gehlen, working with Alan Dulles, who was very instrumental into the whole Nazi infiltration. They were using the fear that Truman had about the Soviets, and the Nazi intelligence had all these intelligence reports buried in the Bavarian mountains with microfiche that they brought onto the trading table in order to bring 3,000 Nazi spies with General Reinhard Gehlen, the head of Nazi intelligence, working hand in hand with Alan Dulles and General Wild Bill Donovan, who kept lying to Truman that, oh, the Soviets have all this huge amount of, they've got this and that, and we need to build up, we need more money. And so all this money was is filtering in. And as Truman said, you know, 30 days after they assassinated Kennedy, that, you know, the CIA has, you know, just basically, there's no government oversight. They do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. They have no control whatsoever. And so it seems that the CIA was basically, which Alan Dulles was pushing for that whole thing to happen, and the National Security Act, which happened back in 1947, which was, you know, right after, you know, just a few months after the Roswell incident, and when they created the U.S. Air Force out of the Army Air Force, and they also created the Central Intelligence Agency. And so, you know, ever since that point, it appears that they've been using our national security apparatus against the American people in order to hide these operations, and that the plan of Willkommen Schalenskrieg that the Nazis had appears, from all indications, to have worked, and that the Nazis effectively infiltrated because they couldn't fight the industrial might of the United States. They had to basically intimidate Truman, and that's what happened in the flyover of July of 1952. Was those were German craft that were intimidating Truman. And this was because Nazi Germany had a 20-year advance. They had anti-gravity in 1934, where we didn't have it until 1954. We were watching Walt Disney, you know, in the 50s with, we plan to go to the moon and Mars with these rockets and everything, when both Wernher von Braun and Professor Hermann Oberth, who said, you know, we had help from people from other worlds, they knew darn well that they had figured out the torsion physics and had anti-gravity. They didn't need rocket propulsion. So, yeah, I think their plan to infiltrate in and create a matrix of perception were, you know, they worked qualitatively rather than quantitatively, where they couldn't beat the industrial might of the United States. So what they did was they intimidated it and forced Eisenhower back in February 1955 into this agreement, which, you know, 1 year later was Operation Deep Freeze, where they started sending all this equipment down to Antarctica. So, you know, you put the dots together, and yeah, it appears that the Nazis won.
Let me read this. I want people to understand the significance of this event that took place in 1952. The 1952 Washington, D.C. UFO incident, also known as the Washington Flap, the Washington National Airport sightings, or the invasion of Washington, was a series of unidentified flying objects reported from July 12th to July 29th, 1952, over Washington, D.C. The most publicized sightings took place on consecutive weekends, July 19th through the 20th, and July 26th through the 27th. UFO historian Curtis Peoples called the incident the climax of the 1952 UFO flap. So what you're saying, Dan, is that actually these were Nazi disc-shaped UFOs. Dozens of them flew over Washington, D.C., it looks like, for two weekends, right?
Right, and you know, this was the same discs that Admiral Byrd, rather, you know, experienced when it was sent down by James Forrestal, who they suicided out the hospital window because he wanted to tell the American people the truth, you know, with Operation High Jump. And, you know, he was silenced, you know, Admiral Byrd, you know, but, you know, they lost all their planes and I think a ship or so, and they came limping back, you know, because the discs were coming out of the, you know, the Russians did a documentary on this that is on my website. That's a very good documentary that, you know, shows about the radio, Navy radio men talking about, you know, these discs. They went flying so fast, the antennas on board the craft were like vibrating, going, you know, every time it went by, and they were shooting, it was shooting beams of like a directed energy weapons out and causing things to explode. So apparently they had these directed energy weapons. You couldn't really, you know, with a flying disc, if you put a cannon on it, mm-hmm. where you have an action and reaction, you know, where you have the mm-hmm. the kickback, it really doesn't work too well. And so they developed these directed kind of like laser weapons that don't have the kickback, you know, so to speak. And so that's what they outfitted the, you know, the German discs with.
And that's because they're basically at that point in their kind of own gravity. Is that correct?
That's right.
So
that's right.
So the recoil from that weapon could essentially cause that ship to move away off course or whatever, right? It would disrupt how it was operating, I guess.
Right, right. You have, you know, just like, you know, we use rocket propulsion, you know, we shoot out all this, you know, flames and everything, and are thrust in one direction. That's how we get propelled in our jet aircraft and all that, which is all, you know, obsolete technologies ever since October of 1954, where, yes, when you you spin mercury in these counter-rotational ways, as Mark McCandish, you know, shared with me some of the schematics on the alien reproduction vehicle that was witnessed at an exhibit at Norton Air Force Base. What happens is that the gravity field also affects time. So it actually warps time around the craft. And the field is, Bob Lazar pointed out that when the craft is operating, if you're underneath the craft, because it bends light, you actually are seeing the sky above the craft and seeing, you know, it looks like it's invisible. It's not there.
That's fascinating. And like, for example, if you were sitting in one of these craft, you could literally go completely inverted and you wouldn't fall out of your chair because you're affected by the gravity surrounding that craft. The electromagnetic energy generates its own gravity field, so they can fly upside down, and to them it doesn't matter. You know, they're like, if you go upside down in a jet, you'll still feel pulled out of your seat, right? But that's not right. The case in one of these craft. It's completely different operation.
Like the secret report that I got going to Chief of Naval Operations way back in 1969, I was, you know, a high-speed code operator receiving, you know, from the ship going, you know, sending a priority message secret to the talking about the crew witnessing this 70-foot glowing reddish-orange disc coming out of the water, and the radar operator tracked it going over 7,000 miles per hour. They can go 7,000 miles per hour and make a sharp right-angle turn. They don't feel anything inside because they're creating their own bubble of an environment. They can go upside down thousands of miles per hour, making right-hand turns. They don't feel anything. They've created their own environment inside the craft.
And this is a technology way beyond what we're using publicly now, but it was really invented, well, we probably had it in the 50s, and the Germans had it in the 30s?
Well, Nazi Germany developed it, you know, they started with, you know, Maria Orsic was doing, you know, some channeling and got some... you know, was in ancient Sumerian writing that they were able to translate, and her father gave it to Professor Schumann at the university, and he saw viable physics in it, so they started working on it, and by 1934 they actually had, you know, flying disc, the virile discs, which eventually the Nazi SS took over and started creating the Hanabus series. But it wasn't until October of 1954, 20 years later, that the United States had anti-gravity.
And this was they called them the ladies of the Vril Society, and they had this extremely long hair, and that would help them get these telepathic messages, correct?
They believed their long hair acted as somewhat of an antenna. There was a report where in Vietnam they were doing something like that, doing an experiment. The government actually was doing an experiment with long hair and found out there was some evidence to that the long hair does act as kind of like a sensory mechanism of some means. But
that's interesting to me. That's fascinating.
Yeah. So yeah, the history is fascinating. It reads like the most incredible, fascinating science fiction writing you ever heard when you dig into this stuff. And, you know, because of its bizarre nature, because we're so indoctrinated differently, that it keeps its own best secrecy because it's almost too hard to believe.
Right.
But if you look at the hundreds of witnesses and their testimonies, and you look at all the leaked documents that have been authenticated, when you put it all together, you start to paint a picture that this science fiction story isn't so fictional after all.
It's fascinating to me. And you were talking about the Thule Society. I always call them Thule Society or the Thule Society. And this was a group within the Nazis that had a lot of information about what they called Atlantis before the great disaster that I guess occurred 12,000 years ago. The Aryans, the Germans, believed there was a very, very advanced society, and they probably came here from somewhere else, but it's a long story. There's so much that we don't know. I wanted to get back to the sighting at Washington, D.C., because I think it's so fascinating.
I just want to inject Atlantis, and that is that, you know, the JFK files that got released during the Trump administration, you know, show that Hitler, you know, successfully escaped. And
I didn't know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was a document that showed that, you know, he was in Colombia, then he moved on to Argentina. And Heinrich Himmler, you know, also there was a doppelganger and took the cyanide cap in his tooth, but he didn't have the fencing scar. And, you know, Himmler escaped, Hitler escaped. When they went down, they believed that Antarctica was Atlantis. And so they must have been one little happy Nazi party when they started to discover some of the stuff deep under the 2 mile ice shelf, you know?
Geez, that's a whole mind bender. Yeah.
That's a whole another thing. Yeah, it's incredible. And now we have, you know, witnesses coming out like Linda Moulton Howe, come out with the Navy SEALs, finding these huge, massive structures that are unbelievable, that are octagonal and you know, like 72 degrees Fahrenheit inside with all these hieroglyphics all over it, and massive 62-acre structure that's going down deep into the 2 mile ice shelf. You know, so there's all these signs that the whole area of Antarctica was ice-free at one time and had a very advanced, highly advanced civilization.
Did you say there was a building that covered 62 miles?
Say that again, Mark?
Did you say that there was a building that covered 62 square miles?
62 acres.
Okay, yeah. That's still pretty huge.
That's huge, yeah. Yeah. It's huge, yeah. These things had like 18-foot thick walls. You know, they were illuminated inside by no visible means of where the light source is, and these huge hieroglyphics all over, massive,
now,
huge
is
structure.
This a fact? The people are stating this as facts.
Well, these are what these Navy SEAL witnesses are testifying.
No kidding.
They're risking their lives, you know, saying this stuff. You know, I knew personally Dr. Ray Brown, who, you know, happened in off the coast of Bimini. He went into a pyramid where he experienced the same thing, finding these rooms inside this huge pyramid that were, they were illuminated, the walls, and there was a seven chairs sitting around this crystal that was with a rod going down, that apparently there was some type of mind interface of this group into this crystal, into the pyramid, that he took the crystal and, you know, they got him on some kind of pedophile charge or something. You know, they put him in prison, and the poor guy, and then somebody else inherited the crystal, and then they said, oh, it accidentally dropped and broke, but, you know, these people accidentally, you know, probably, it seems there is this group that is behind all of this is very, very interested in the ancient history of this planet, and you know, things like in the pyramids and whatnot, I think they grab any of this technology before the public ever gets to see it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if you know this, but one of Billy's contacts is with a woman named Askett, his second mentor. He had one mentor for 11 years named Svoth. And then when he was 16 years old, he got another mentor named Askett, an extraterrestrial woman who took him below the Giza Plateau, and they went deep underground for a long, long ways. There's a whole contact report that talks about it. And they finally came to this gigantic hallway where Billy explained he saw the light coming from everywhere and yet nowhere, just like you're talking about. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, it is interesting. Apparently, whoever built the pyramids and whoever built some of these other structures apparently somehow related. They're using very similar technology. But, you know, you brought up in the very beginning of the show, you brought up a very important point about what Billy Myers was saying about basically their collective mind and about people who believe things. And if you look at what's happened with the infiltrated, if you believe that, you know, the secret societies connected with us, they understand what's called the hive mind.
Mm-hmm.
They understand that when you put imagery on the media, such as movies and crime dramas and apocalyptic images and people hurting and, you know, all the negative imagery that goes on TV, it affects millions of minds that are watching this and affects a collective co-creative participatory reality that all of us share. And they understand the mechanisms of consciousness, how they work. And if you look at the connections with the secret societies, and Kennedy warned about the dangers of secrecy and secret societies, and ironically the man who wrote the assassination directive, Alan Dulles, was assigned to the Warren Commission after his death to head it, who was a 33rd degree Freemason, who all the members were 33rd degree Freemasons. And to be a 33rd degree Scottish Rite Freemason, it's nothing you can do on your own. You have to be selected. And so the very people that he tried to warn about were the ones that said, oh, no, it was a lone gunman. It was Lee Harvey Oswald. And then later it was revealed that by John McCone on a document that showed that Lee Harvey Oswald was trained by the CIA under the Office of Naval Intelligence. And they actually lied to their agents. They put out a dispatch for people that were questioning the Warren Commission outcome that anybody call them a conspiracy theorist, quote unquote, and say they have, you know, half-baked theories and they have financial interests and whatnot, and that that there's lies about that Lee Harvey Oswald was trained by the CIA. Well, no, the document by John McCone, the other CIA director that was replaced Alan Dulles after Kennedy fired him, totally revealed that, yes, they were lying to their own operatives about that.
You know, you mentioned this subconscious connection that all humans have, and Billy calls it a we form. He says the people on the Earth humanity, we have what's called a we form, and we're all connected in this subconscious way. And
yes,
what is very, very interesting, Dan, is I think, like your thoughts and my thoughts, we may be fortunate enough not to be as far in the sleep state as most of the public is. So I think it's possible that our discussions may affect people in subconscious ways, even though they may not listen to this show. I know that sounds way out there, but
Just a few minds that are listening to the show right now. That's the only reason I do these shows. I never, ever had one penny of interest. I even paid my own way to go to Washington to testify.
Wow.
It's so important that we continually, because the truth has this power to resonate within people, where a lie doesn't have that same power.
Right.
And it propagates, you know, when people are thinking about what we're saying, you know, and do your own research. Don't take anybody's word for it, especially not mine or Mark's or anybody's, you know. Do your own research and see if it's true or not, you know. And then when we get to the point like Mark and I have, you know, when you say, oh my God, you know, there's evidence here, this is true, then all of a sudden you're affecting the collective mind. And this, when you realize that, when you have a realization of a certain truth that's been hidden, it propagates across the collective mind. And so this is why they're desperately ramping up the censorship. They're trying to put a clamp on it because too many people are starting to connect the dots and see that, you know, there's a group that's trying to control our perceptions that has a hidden agenda. They want to come out slowly and say, oh, we have a threat, and you know, and it looks like Trump with the Space Force may be trying to bring out some of this new technology, but you know, they're publicly showing that we already have the patents, or you can check out the patents online. They're linked on my website, thewebmatrix.net. We've already had it, you know, so for them to make it sound like it's something new, you know, like, UFOs, they've never been a threat to us. We're still here. We're having this talk show. Not to say that all of them are positive, you know, that there may be some reptilian races that are predatory, but it looks like the majority of them, or some of them, are keeping them in check. At least I have no, you know, direct connection with these other beings, but all we can do is look for the indications, and the indications are we have more of a threat here on Earth than we do coming from outer space.
Oh yeah, you know, I don't know if you ever listened to Dr. Bruce Lipton, but he's got a lot of great.
Oh yeah.
Oh, do you?
Oh, he's awesome. He's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. He talks about pebbles being thrown in a pond that create ripples, and he said that's the way our thoughts are. Is like, there's something called constructive interference, like the discussion we're having right now and the discussion I have with other people that come on the show, and where our thoughts actually, they resonate with one another, and it's like we're strengthening each other's perspectives and point of view by what's called constructive interference, which kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier.
It's a good analogy.
It's a great analogy. And there's also what he calls destructive interference, where sometimes you'll be trying to talk with someone and you just, you know, the thoughts are not complementing each other at all. So it's kind of a noise is created. I know we're running close on time. I wanted to read this little section from, and this is Wikipedia, and, you know, this goes to show you, I'm glad we're doing this. I'm glad we're having this conversation. And I'm glad you brought this up again. Because if people would just pay attention to this one incident and what it means, in 1952 in Washington, D.C., Nazi UFOs, electromagnetic vehicles, flew over Washington, D.C. Let me read this just a second.
To intimidate Truman.
I mean, this is very important. The Nazis were intimidating us in 1952, Airman William Bradley, who was in the tower, then saw an object which appeared to be like an orange ball of fire trailing a tail. It was unlike anything I had ever seen before. As Bradley tried to alert the other personnel in the tower, the strange object took off at an unbelievable speed on one of the national airport runways. This is very interesting. S.W. Pierman, a Capital Airlines pilot, was waiting in the cockpit of the DC-4 for permission to take off. After spotting what he believed to be a meteor, he was told that the control tower's radar had detected unknown objects closing in on his position. Pierman observed six objects, white, tailless, fast-moving lights, over a 14-minute period. Pierman was in radio contact with Barnes during this sighting, and Barnes later related that each sighting coincided with what he calls a pip he could see near his plane. When he reported that the light streaked off at high speed, it disappeared on our scope. This was an amazing event that took place.
Yeah, and this would intrude, because just 5 years prior to this event was Operation High Jump, where they, you know, defeated Admiral Byrd. So it would intimidate Truman, absolutely.
Dan, thanks again. I had a great time. We're out of time already.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It just, times flies when you're having fun. And, you know, I always enjoy the show with you, Mark, and diving into this.
We'll talk soon. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.